Mark is what kind of a name? Mark is what kind of a name? What language does it originate in? You remember that one, Evangelina? How about it, Russ?
Latin,
absolutely, A plus. Is it Latin? A Latin, and then what does what's his other name? His Hebrew name?
John.
So his name was John Mark. John Mark. And what does Mark mean? Dried out. Yeah, dried out. So we have a dove, and we have a dried out dove. We have derp jerky. Okay. All right. Mark 1 and verse 13. Kai, ein, en, te, eremo. Tessa, ra, conta. Hemeras, terra, zo, menos. Hippo, tu, satana. Kai, ein, meta, ton, therion. Kai, hoi, angeloi. Dia konun, auto. Now let's look and see what's going on here. There's a lot of stuff in here in this verse, believe it or not. And kai ein. Conjugate that ein there for me, Brother Roger. Ha. All right. Third person singular, imperfect indicative active. Write that down someplace. That's what it is. Third person singular, imperfect indicative active. IIA, that means imperfect indicative active. For short. And he kept on being in the Eremu. That Eremu there, that is a desert. That is out in a terrible, dry area where hardly anything can live. It is so dry, and we're talking about there, it is dry. Fish Lake Valley, Maryland, is very wet compared to what this word means. When I was preaching up there at Fish Lake Valley on the creek, do you remember all those little creatures that came out and watched me preach?
Mm-hmm.
You'd think it was a congregation of lizards. They came out, and the mice and everything, the birds were flying down and looking at me and just watching me out there. I don't think they'd ever seen anybody that crazy before. Get up there and preach to the creek and to the creatures of the air and the land. Well, the Eremu, there was a what we call a supernatural beast that was over this area. You remember what that thing's called, Sharon? A behemoth. All right. It's a supernatural creature. It is a some places in the Old Testament, there's one place especially that talked about Lilith. Remember Lilith? You remember who Lilith was?
I've heard of Lilith.
You've heard of Lilith?
Yes.
All right. What was Lilith? What is the Hebrew tradition of Lilith? Now, Lilith is an imaginary person. First of all, In Hebrew, the Hebrew, what we call Mishnah and the Talmud, it talks about Lilith. Lilith was the first wife of Adam. Okay? And she is the mother of all lesbians, they say. Okay? The mother of all lesbians. This is the one. She would not be in submission to Adam at all, and everything that he was supposed to be doing, she would do it. And finally, he divorced her. And God made Eve. Well, in the meanwhile, she is the one that goes out in the desert. And it talks about the owls sometimes in the desert. This is Lilith. This is Behemoth. Okay? This is a supernatural creature that causes all kinds of havoc. And in the Jews, especially from Germany, they would make little omelets. When a woman was pregnant, she had to wear this omelet. It says, out with Lilith, in with Hava, in with Eve. Out with the Lilith, in with Eve, and Adam, and they would have these omelets. And what it was a good luck charm to keep her from causing a child to abort. And when mother was in childbirth, they'd wear this same thing, and they would run. Every local synagogue had a Ark of the Covenant in it. And they'd take a cord and they'd tie it from the Ark of the Covenant and run it all the way into the house, and the woman would hold on to the cord as she was giving birth. How many of you heard that before? I taught it before. You heard it before, Roger? No? You did me. Yeah, all right. You remember. A plus. Anyway, they would do these things. And the same thing with a candlestick and all of this. And when a young man would come to the age of puberty, he would have these wild sexual dreams. And Lilith was the one that caused all this. She was the one that was doing this. And so they'd have an amulet around his neck to keep him from being enticed by Lilith. Now, Jesus is out in the wilderness. The Jews have a tradition that out in the wilderness are these monsters. Now, when Marilyn and I were up there in Fish Lake Valley the last time, she went walking down around the creek and you saw a lion's track about so big. Like that, huh? Yeah. And she wouldn't go back down there again. Well, I even saw a bear's track. I didn't tell her that either. And I saw a raccoon's track. And there were these animals visiting us. We have visitors coming along the creek. I didn't bother. That doesn't bother me, you know. I'll just take Mr. Samuel Colt with me and forget it. If I have any trouble, I'll just take action. Anyway, she wouldn't go down there. I put these beautiful little solar lights down there, and I had the whole idea that we're going to go down there, and we're going to sit down there at the picnic table, and we're going to have a little snack, and we're going to pray, and we're going to have a good time. And she said, no, no, no. Is that true? You said, no, not going down there. Taking Samuel Colt, I'm taking Mr. Colt with me. Let's go. No! That track was fresh on her mind, okay? Well, she remembered one time a few years ago, probably 10 years ago, that we went up Cottonwood Creek in Fish Lake Valley, and this lion stepped in our tracks, and its 2-foot tracks were like this, big lion. Went back there, and I had been swimming, and I had swimming trunks on, and I didn't have a gun on me. And so she was really mad because I didn't have my gun with me. She was mad. Here we are out here, and the lion's out here, and you have no gun. No stick, no nothing. Well, Jesus was out there in the wilderness. He was out in the wilderness. And he didn't have any Colt pistol yet because they hadn't been invented. They hadn't been invented yet. He didn't have one of those long, crooked daggers that the Syrians make, the Damascus steel swords. He didn't have one of them. He didn't need one. We're going to see what happens with Jesus out in the wilderness, out in the desert. And they were afraid to go out in the desert, and they were afraid to go out the ocean, because in the ocean was the Leviathans, that sea serpent-looking dragon out there in the ocean that caused all the shipwrecks and ate the people and all this kind of stuff. This is what I have in mind. Well, they were afraid of the ocean, and they were afraid of the desert, because these supernatural creatures are both out there ready to eat them. The boogeyman. And he kept on being in the desert, 40, Tesera Kanta, 40, Hemeras days. And now let's look at this. Perazomenos. And then it says, it's present participle passive. Present participle passive, so it means that something's been done to him. Okay? It's nominative singular masculine, present participle passive. And he kept on being tempted from all sides. Peri, he's surrounded with temptation. Have you ever been surrounded with temptation?
Amen.
Surrounded with it. He was surrounded with temptation. He was surrounded with temptation. Hipo tu satana. By the agency of Satan. How could Jesus be tempted out there in 40 years in the wilderness? We're going to find out some of the things that are tempting. How would you be tempted out there in the desert, in the wilderness?
Hungry and thirsty.
Hungry and thirsty. And probably hot. I don't know whether this is summer, winter, or what it was, but anyway, he's out there in the desert. In the desert, it's cold at nighttime, and it's hot in the daytime. You burn up in the daytime, and you're cold at nighttime. That's the desert extremes. 40 days now he's out there. 40 days. How long was Moses up on top of that mountain? How long?
40 and 40.
He was up there two different periods of 40 without any food or anything. So Moses, in that way, is a type of Jesus, isn't he? All right. 40 days. And he's being surrounded with temptation by the agency of the opposer. The opposer, the opponent, the adversary. I talked about we have an advocate and we have an adversary. That's what I preached about this morning. The advocate and the adversary. And it was a good old-fashioned hellfire and damnation sermon. That's what it was all about. From Romans, the 8th chapter. Satan. What is Satan? He is a real natural being, isn't he? I mean, he's real, not natural, but real. He's supernatural. Is he really? Is he a figment of our imagination, or is he real? Where did he begin? How did he become? Look back on the chart. Back in eternity past, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Let's look at him for just a moment. Let's see if he's real. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Let's look at him for just a minute and see how real he is. Oh, how have you fallen from heaven, star of the morning? This Lucifer. This is Lucifer. Lucifer, it comes from the word Latin is Lucere. We got a word Lucifer from that. His name in Hebrew is what? Hillel. All right. How have you fallen from heaven, O Hillel, son of the dawn? Now he was the caretaker and the distributor of light and over the material creation of God. And you have been cut down to earth, and you who have weakened the nations. What nations did he weaken? What did old Satan do when he came to the earth? Genesis 1 and 2. Killed all the animals. He killed plant life. He did everything. He devastated the whole place. That's where we got much of this fossil fuel, is from Satan. Now, God's unpreventable progress. Let's think about this for a little while. God created all that beautiful world and everything, and all the animals upon it, and then Satan destroys it. Why did God allow him to do this? Is this God's direct will? No, it's his permissive will. God allowed it to happen. He allowed it to happen. Why? In the last days, what's Israel and all them Arab nations fighting over? What made the Muslim world get so strong? Oil, O-I-L. Because they don't do much work. Except for pillage. That's how they built their empire, wasn't it? By pillaging. Pillaging, rape, and stealing. That's how they do it. That's what happened. Okay? Just like Catholicism did. The other night, when the last sermon I preached up here last Sunday morning, I had a time chart up there with church history on it, and I showed you where all this happened, how Catholicism did that, and then Muhammad followed in their footsteps. His religion didn't go too well with theologically, but it did real well by violence. And it's still doing really well by violence. You've been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars. What's the stars?
Angels.
The angels of God. And I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. Now, if you go to the north as far as the earth and go straight up in the third heaven, that's where heaven is. That's what it says right here. This is inspired. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds and will make myself like the Most High God. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Now let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28. Now these are dual prophecies, by the way. We're talking about the king of Babylon here, and we're talking about the king of Tyre over here. But I'm going to tell you something. The king of Babylon never did ascend up into the heaven. Who's that? That's Lucifer, Satan. All right, now Ezekiel 28, it says here, beyond the point of no return. I preached that sermon right here one time. Beyond the point of no return. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up the lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus saith Jehovah Elohim. Actually, Jehovah Adonai. Adonai means what?
Lord,
King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the King of all kings now.
Amen.
You had the seal of perfection. Who's that? Who had the seal of perfection on him? Did God ever create anything that was bad? No, he was created perfect. Was Adam created perfect in the garden? Yes. But we sinned. We became arum. We became sinful. Full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. And you were in Eden, the garden of God. Now was the king of Tyre ever in Eden? No. Who's this talking about? Lucifer. Okay. Every precious stone was your covering. Now, if you take all of this, the description of this, and then if you take Muhammad's description of that animal that took him to heaven, you will see a lot of things similar. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis, the lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald. And the gold and the workmanship of your settings and the sockets was in you on the day that you were created. They were prepared. You were the anointed cherub. He, what is anointed? What is a cherub, Sharon?
An angel with wings.
An angel with wings. He's the anointed cherub. What kind of angels are over the Ark of the Covenant, Brother Mike? Angels with wings, so those are called cherubs. There are two cherubs over the Ark of the Covenant, representing those witnesses in heaven that witness every time somebody is born again and somebody dies and when they're born and all this. These angels witness that. It's right over the kafar, the mercy seat, the hilasmos in Greek. Standing right over that. That's a place of atonement, isn't it? You were the anointed cherub who covers. I place you there. You were in the holy government of God. He would took place in it. He was over at least one third of all the angelic hosts. I keep drawing this pie. Pie, 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 pie. A triune pie. Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer. Michael over the spiritual realm. Gabriel over the informational realm. And then Lucifer over the material realm. Now we know that one third of the angels rebelled and went with Lucifer. I think one third of these, one third of these, and one third of these. Most theologians believe that, and I agree with them. Okay. So some out of the material realm, out of the spiritual realm, and out of the informational realm. If you have somebody that is a true what we call a prophet, as far as prophecies go. You know, like these tarot card readers and these seance people and all this. Those people, if they're doing something, they're getting information from Gabriel's realm, from the demonic or angelic realm. If you see a ghost, it's not a ghost. There are no ghosts. But if you see a ghost pretending to be somebody else, it is a fallen angel. Because angels can materialize, spirits cannot. Spirits seek to dwell in human or animal flesh. They do. If you have poltergeists in your house, those are fallen spirits which are called demons, daimonia. And demons, daimonia means what, Brother Roger? Daimonia.
Little gods.
In other words, they're supernatural beings. They're powerful beings beyond natural, paranormal. This is paranormal activity, okay? They come from all of this realm here. The spiritual realm and Michael's realm, these angels were so powerful and so scary and so violent that rebelled that they are in the bottomless pit. And they're going to be turned loose on this earth during the tribulation period. They're real. When people talk about demons and stuff like that, this is for real world. If you're pestered by evil spirits, it's from this fallen angels. How about viruses and germs? They are fallen life forms. Good bacteria does what to you? It keeps you healthy. You have to take probiotics to help your gut digest better. But what happens if you get bad bacteria? My ex-wife gave me some of that one time. Almost killed me. She was playing bugs out there in the medical field and introduced me some of that to me. That just almost killed me. People get a flesh-eating bacteria. Flesh-eating bacteria. That kills you. It will maim you. It will kill you. These are fallen life forms, okay? All the fallen life forms. This is what will do you in. Because there are fallen life forms. Those fallen life forms are like those spirits in the demonic world and those angels, those fallen angels. These aren't good people. Okay? They are not good beings. You were anointed cherub who covers, and I place you there. And you were in the holy government of God, and you walked in the midst of the stones of fire. And that's talking about the throne room of God. Revelation. The sea of glass is what it calls it. The sea of glass, it is what we call a foundation stone. The foundation stone underneath the throne of God is a pure diamond, reflecting the glory of God. The sea of glass. It's diamond. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were intentionally filled with violence, and you sinned, and therefore I've cast you as profane from the holy government of God. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. He was a caretaker of this earth. Now, we have two Edens in the Bible. We have one Eden that Lucifer was in, and then we have another Eden that God created and put Adam in. And that's the throne room of the universe. Adam was in the throne room of the universe. From the midst of the stones of fire, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you down to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. Angelic forces. Are there king angels? What are king angels called? Archangels. Head angels. I threw you down before the archangels so they could see. How many archangels are there? Some people believe there are three. The Jews believe there are seven, don't they? All right. I think there's three. And I think these three are archangels. And was he thrown down? Yes, Sharon.
Do you think Lucifer was replaced? Because now he's out, he's thrown down, so do you think there was a replacement?
I don't think... Well, the replacement with Lucifer was man. Do you see how important mankind is? Oh, yeah. Where was he put? In another Eden created by God. So man took the place of Lucifer. And why was Lucifer mad? Because God replaced him with a flesh and blood breathing little guy. All right, now let's go back. 40 days being tempted from all sides by Satan. This is the rascal in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. You got it clear. He's real. He's not a figment of our imagination. He's not the boogeyman that somebody invented. In Germany at one time, they said the boogeyman's going to get you. You know what they said they're going to get you over there in Germany? The Wiedertaufers. What's a Wiedertaufer?
Double dipper.
A dipper. That's a Baptist. Anabaptist. Going to get you. Because these were really bad because they were preaching the Word of God. You know, they didn't like this. I remember when Donna went over there in that area, they looked upon her as a boogeyman, as the Wiedertaufers. Finally, they got trusted her a little bit. By Satan, by the agency of Satan, and he kept on being among or with the wild beast, the Therion. What is a wild beast, the Therion? What does that mean, Brother Roger? You remember what that means? It's beasts of the field, but it means more than that. Brother, I mean, sure, I'm Marilyn? That's a lion.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lion. A leopard. A jaguar. That's who it is. It's a jaguar. It's something that can run and grab. A fast-running, swift-running killing machine. Like in the ocean, we'd call that a great white shark. Okay? And he's out there with all these wild beasts that everybody else is afraid of. And the ones, the angels, they kept on, third person singular, third person plural, imperfect, indicative, active. They kept on ministering, serving him. that kept on being serviced to him. These are the good angels. Amen. Not the bad ones. The bad one was there, all right. Yes.
So how did they serve him? Because, I mean, they didn't give him food. They didn't give him water. Did they just give him encouragement?
Okay, now what is Jesus? Who is Jesus?
God.
He's God, all right. What else is he?
Man.
Man. What part of him do you think they were ministering to?
The man part.
The man part. Was he really a man? Do you think that being a man, that this supernatural being might somewhat intimidate him to some extent as a man?
Yeah.
Do you think that he suffered?
Yeah.
From all sides, it says that he was tempted from all sides. Is it real or true? Was he tempted from every way? Yes. And we're going to find out exactly how he tempted him specifically in some areas. But he was thirsty. He was hungry. And out there in the wilderness, now he's out in the wilderness with these wild animals. The wild animals were like they were in the Garden of Eden. They were wild, not to the Creator. He came unto his creation, and it accepted him, but the creature that he created rejected him, which is mankind. Think about that. Kai metato, para do thene. Ton Iwane, El Thane Ho Jesus, Ace Tane Galilean, Caruson To Euangelion, To Thiu. Now it just jumps right here and just goes right over there into the deal. It doesn't tell you how he's tempted. How was he tempted? What did the other Gospels say? Remember, this is an abbreviated form of the Gospels. What did the other Gospels say in Matthew 4 chapter?
He was offered a kingdom.
He was tempted by hunger and by thirst, and then he was taken up on a high mountain and shown all the kingdoms of the earth and said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I will give you those kingdoms. And he had those kingdoms. He still has those kingdoms.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
He saw. Was Jesus tempted in every way we are?
Yes.
He's tempted in every way we are. Now, that's real hard for us to fathom, because Jesus is without sin. But he's tempted in every way that we are. Okay? He said, bow down, worship me. And what does Jesus answer? And we don't have it in this gospel. What was it? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. And I said, you shall worship me and him only. Because this is Jehovah God that's in the flesh right there. And after the what we call the arresting, the handing over, the giving over of the John, he came, the Jesus, unto the Galilee. Eis tain Galilea. See that? What's Galilee mean, Sharon? Circle. Because there's how many cities there, Brother Roger?
Ten
cities. How many people in each one of them cities approximately?
15,000,
so we have 150,000 people around this area. And this is also the gateway of the world. They go through here, through all, this is what we call the Royal Highway. And he's preaching the gospel of God. And he's preaching the gospel of God. Let's go on. 1 and 15 now. Kai Lagon, Hote, Pep Le Rothe, Hokai Rose, Kai, Ingiken, He, Basilea, Tuthiu, Beta Noete, Kai, Pisuete, Into Yongalio. Now, Kai Lagon is not there, but in some ways it's understood anyway. Kai Lagon, it says, and saying, nominee singular masculine present participle active. It's not there, but we know that he was preaching, don't we? What is he preaching? It tells us what he's preaching. That pep le ro te, third person singular, perfect indicative passive. Perfect tense means what, Brother Roger?
It's done.
It's a done deal. All right? Completed action. It has been fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. The season. The season. Now, it's not time. This is season. Genesis 3:15 has now been fulfilled. Genesis 3:15 has now been fulfilled. And it has drawn near. It has drawn near the kingdom belonging to the God. The kingdom belonging to the God. How did the kingdom of God draw near to them, Brother Roger? They could see the face of the King. They had drawn so near, they see the face of the King, but they were rejecting the face of the King and the hands of the King and the works of the King and the power of the King and the authority of the King. All Israel, there is their King. He's not king of anybody else. He's king of them. This is the King of the Jews. The King of the God. The kingdom of God. Ye repent. Look at this now. This is metanoeite. When you get saved, God changes your life. He changes your life. And you repent when you ask God into your life, do you not, Roger? And from then on, you keep on repenting. When you do something wrong, you keep on repenting, you keep on repenting, you keep on repenting. You cannot live in sin and be happy. It's not going to make you happy. It's going to make you sad. You're going to be miserable. I preached that this morning, didn't I? You keep on repenting. Second person plural, present, imperfect active. You have a complete reversal of character. I did. I don't know about you. I did. I had a reversal of character. You know, there's a time in my life that I couldn't say three words without cussing. Couldn't. That was my language. I remember when Brother Ray was saved, he was the same way. Man, a guy couldn't talk straight English. It was a gang language. Blah, 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 blah. You know, all of this. You know, could not, all of your, all of the words you say are out of the world. And I was afraid, you know, God called me to preach. And I was afraid I'd get up and start cussing when I was preaching. I knew a preacher did that. He'd start cussing. Keep on repenting. When you say something wrong, when you do something wrong, it just bothers you, doesn't it? It really bothers you. You are miserable. And you know what that tells you, Brother Mike? It tells you you're saved. Amen. It tells you you're saved. It does. Evangelina, you believe that?
I do.
Yeah. Marilyn? I've got to convince her of that now. I've got to try to tame her down a little bit. God tames us.
Amen.
With His Spirit that's in us. And ye keep on believing in the gospel. Euangelion. You on the front of that means what, Brother Roger? That means good. And then we have the word angelos there. Except it's it came from a verb which means to what? To cry out, to minister to. It means to message. It means the good message. The good message. The joyful news. Genesis 3:15 is fulfilled. And we're looking forward to Jesus coming back. From the time He came back first time, we're looking back to Him to come back again and to bring this whole world in order. And then finally throw the old devil in the bottomless pit and in hell forever. So we don't have to mess with him anymore. Does he bother you?
Amen.
Yeah, right there alongside of you somewhere all the time. Read the book of Job about once a year, at least. You need to do that. 1:16. Kai, paragon. Para, tain thalassane, tais galileas, edain simona, kai andreon, ton adelphon, simonas, amphibalontos. In te thalasse, eson gar heles. Let's look at this. and passing alongside, going alongside, beside the sea, all right, of the Galilee, he observed and he saw. Third person singular, second aorist indicative active. He observed and he saw. That's punctiliar action, but a little more durative, linear, second aorist. Simona. All right. All right, Simon. What's Simon mean? Brother Roger?
It's like rock.
What? Simon. 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 One who hears.
Okay.
This is Simeon in the Old Testament. This word actually should be Simeon, okay? This is Simeon. That's the Old Testament name, Simeon. One who hears. God heard my prayer, his mother said. And then we have the word Andreon. Andreon. What's Andreon mean? You remember what that one means? Andreon. Andreas. All of these words. It means manly. Andrea means manly. A manly woman. Andrew is a manly man, okay? Manly. The brother of Simon. And they're throwing around. Now, what you get out here is they take a net and they throw it out and throw it in a circle to surround the fish. These have got little pebble stones or something to make it sink on the bottom. Maybe even brass ingots or something tied onto that net to make it go down. Throwing around in the sea. They kept on being fishermen. They kept on being third person plural and perfect indicative active. I didn't write that down there, but you do it. And that comes from Amy all the way, also. Third person singular and perfect indicative active. I used to have to look all this stuff up. Now it's in my head. By the way, the word in up there, that's where we get our word in English, and it's on page 137 of the Analytic Lytical Greek Lexicon. Chi is on page 208. Para, I think, is on page 346. Let's go on to number 17. Number 17. See how many minutes I got going here. Been going 38 minutes. Kai. Epein. Autois. Hoesus. Duete. Opiso. Mu. Kai. Poieso. Hemos. Geneste. Hales. Anthropon. Let's look at that. Here we have... Oh, the word chi there, page 208, if you want to write that down below that, in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. And he kept on saying to them. Third person singular, indicative, imperfect indicative active, to them, the Jesus. What's Jesus mean? What is the correct pronunciation of Jesus? Joshua. It's Joshua. Okay? Joshua is what Jesus... And what does Joshua mean, Sharon?
Jehovah saves.
That's a perfect name for Jesus, and Jehovah saves, because he, through the person of Jesus, we are saved. Duete. Duete. And this is a long, drawn-out word, this duete. The Latin word is dominus, which means have dominion over. Okay? When you have dominion over. And the Greek is despotes. This is lord and master. And it is this is a little particle of exhortation. It comes from duro. And it means that I have power over you. I have dominion over you, if you allow me to have it. Here we have volition also. Now, if you surrender yourself to me, you come. Because I will now be your master. When you come to Jesus, he is now your master. He's your Domine. Anno Domini means the year of the Lord in Latin. The year of the Lord. The year of our master. And this word here, come to me. I'm giving you a command and you come to me if I am your master. Those who hear me and surrender their lives to me, I am your master. You're not your own. We are not our own. We are not our own. O piso, and that means behind me. Behind of me. Look at that. That of me there, Brother Roger, what is that? What case is that in? First of all, it's a first person pronoun. It's genitive singular masculine first person pronoun. And first person plural, future indicative active, and I shall make you. And this is where we get our word poio from. Poem. Poem. I'll make you rhyme with my kingdom. I'll put you as a link. I will sew you in the tapestry of my kingdom.
Amen.
You know, we look at beautiful blankets out there at the fair the other day. If you any of you went to the fair, they had these beautiful blankets out there and quilts and all this, and they had done quilting, and they had all kinds of this beautiful, beautiful needlework on. God wants to put you in His tapestry of His kingdom. He wants to sew you in there. He wants to make you part of that kingdom. I'll make you to become Geneste. Here is the word in Genesis 1 and 2, and the earth she had become, Hatia, the earth she had become Tohu Bavuhu, formless and void. But I'm going to make you to become Eleis, fishers. Have you ever heard of an old salty? What's an old salty?
Sailor.
Huh? It's an old sailor. This is what it means. An old salt. I'll make you an old salty. Because the word salty hauls comes out of this word. I'm going to make you an old salty. I'm going to make you a sailor and a fisherman of men. A sailor and a fisherman of men. Of mankind. Not of fish, but of mankind. 118. Kai euthus. Athentes. Ta dictuo. Ekoluthason alto. Mark loves this word euthus. He loves that word euthus. It means what? Immediately, violently, suddenly. When they heard the call of their master, they followed. Have you followed your master? Did he call? Did you follow? I know you're here tonight because of that. You're following your master. This is a discipleship class, and we're following our Lord. That's where you learn. What does the word mathetes, disciple, mean? Habitual learner, habitual follower. And we are following the Lord. And immediately, they left behind. They left these things. They left them. I see people called to preach. God still calls preachers. He really does. Now, when you're called, there is no retirement. It's just it. You're called, you're called. That's it. You're called. There is no, what we call, God doesn't throw you back. He calls you, you're called. I have loved my ministry here at Valley Baptist Church. 20 years, this church has allowed me to preach to my heart's extent, and I love it. I'm still here, even though I'm pastoring another church now. I'm still here. Brother Phil told me years ago, Brother Jim, if you leave, will you still preach Greek? We need a Greek teacher here. And I said, yes, I will do my best if the church allows me, and the church allows me to do this. I plan on doing this at least for the rest of this year. And I don't know what the Lord's going to do with me from then on, but that's what I plan on doing in between running here and Fish Lake Valley. Okay, and preaching up there. Maybe you guys have missed me a little bit and really show up with bells on or something. I expected a lot more here tonight. I'm here still, see? I didn't run off and leave you plumb behind. I'm back. And immediately, instantly, straightway, he left these things, nominative, plural, masculine, present, or second aorist participle, active. The nets, the dictuo. That this word dictuo means to tie little knots. It means to tie little knots, and to it means to cast. It means to dry out all of this. You do all this with nets, and nets are a little jumble of tied knots, aren't they? And for a net to be good, you have to dry it out, don't you? That's all in this world word right here. It means to dry out. It means to cast, decay. It means all of these little things. They left the nets. The nets were their life. The nets meant food on the table. But they left it. They left it. They left their livelihood. They did. I've seen preachers that were making lots of money out in the world, and they left those jobs and followed the Lord and made pennies. As in little churches, little pennies compared to what they did. But they were doing exactly what God wanted them to do, weren't they? So what enjoyment there is in following the Lord? The world has got a really bad... The world, when it comes to preachers, is like the hyper-capitalist. They got the CEOs, pastors, and then they got these starving-to-death pastors. And you know which one's the greatest? Probably the starving-to-death pastors. Because the other ones are getting all the glory right now. And the money! Okay? But what you do is you follow the Lord. And then it says here, akulu theson. This is third person plural, first aorist, indicative active. And they followed after him. Now the word follow there, it means they heard the command and they listened to him and they caught those words and they remembered those words and they followed the Lord. They followed the Lord. They followed. They followed after him or to him. The ative singular masculine third person pronoun were in Mark 1:18. Mark 1:18. Let's go on another one. We've still got some time here, I think. Kai. Probos. Oligon. Adain. Yekabon. Ton. Tu. Zebedion. Kai. Ewana. Ton. Adelphon. Alton. Kai. Altus. Ento ployon katartizontos ta dictio. We got a word amphibian and everything from these words that we've been looking at. We get amphibian. Amphibian. What kind of an animal is amphibian? Yeah. He goes in the water, in the land. What would be an amphibian? A frog. Okay. Huh?
Snakes.
Sometimes snakes, water snakes. And nominative singular masculine, second aorist participle. And having gone forward, having proceeded a little way, olikon, a little way, a little distance, he observed, he saw, third person singular, second aorist indicative act, he saw Jacob. Jacob. Now, Jacob. Now, it says James, doesn't it, in your translation? This is Jacob. The name Jacob is actually, name James is actually Jacob. What does Jacob mean, Marilyn? Jacob.
Something about following.
It means to trip or to follow or to follow behind. Actually, it means to grab a hold of the heel. That means what it is. Because Jacob when he was born, he grabbed the heel of his brother. And he was the one that would be the patriarch of his family, Jacob. So Jacob, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of him. So now we have James and we have John, sons of thunder. And actually the word here, and means also. This is what we call a cumulative particle, or particle of affirmation, or whatever. Still on page 208 in the analytical Greek lexicon, if you want to write that down there. Him, them, that is, them, in the boat, in the ploion, that boat. This is a small boat. A small boat. This is like a boat that could have a sail on it or whatever. It's not a gigantic ship. It's a boat. And they were doing what here? Accusative plural masculine, present participle active. They were tying knots in their nets. Tying knots. Nets get broken. They get torn. And they are tying knots in their nets. In the nets of them. Dicto-o. A net of any kind. Amphibolastron. That's a fishing net. And then we have the word se-sa-ge-ne, which means a sweep net. This is a drag net. Okay? See those three down there? We have a net, a general term. This is one that you throw out that's got weights on it. And you have to repair all these things by tying knots in them. And then we have the amphiblastron. We have a fishing net. This is where we get amphibious from and all of that. And then we have the word sagene. That is a drag net, a seine. A one that drag. They do that out in the ocean. Now they go and they drag these great big seines, these great big drag nets. And they take up everything, from the shells on the bottom of the sea to everything. They just take everything out. And the Bible says, and when we talk about the parable of the dragnet, remember that? And he takes out good fish and bad fish in this dragnet. And what does he do? He throws the bad fish back and he keeps the good fish. In the parable of the dragnet. 120. Chi euthus. Ek kal lesen autus kai afentes ton patera auton zebedion en to ploio meta ton mi stanton afelton opiso autu. And immediately, instantly, he called out. Look at this word, ek kaleison, Brother Roger. What do you think the word comes from this? Third person singular, first aorist indicative active.
Ecclesia.
This is the church. He's calling out the church. This is where the church begins right now. He's calling it out. He calls the church out in the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And he calls them, and then it says, having left the father of them, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired servants. That word comes from mistos there. These are hired servants. So these guys were probably well-to-do fishermen, and they own several boats, and they also have hired people. They have sailors. We have deck boys. We have deckhands. And they left the deckhands and left their father. They left the hired servants. From mistos means wages. Genitive, plural, masculine. They went. And that's punctiliar action. And they went behind of him, Jesus. That's what you do. When God calls you, you walk off and you leave the things of the world and you follow him. Did they leave their occupations? Did they leave everything behind? They left it all and they followed Jesus because God called them. Now this, they probably had wives and children, didn't they? What do you think his wife was saying? These people's wives were saying there from Maryland. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? What's going on here? Where's the food? Where's the beef? Where's the fish? Where's my food? What about it? What's going on here?
Dad probably said something.
What?
Yeah. Zebedee probably had something.
Oh yeah, Dad said something too, didn't he? Yeah. Sons of Thunder, you know, I mean, hey, where are you guys going? We're following our master. Remember what duete means? It means to follow. Come here and to submit to the master of the universe. Submit. Because he's your despotes. He's your domine. He's your master. So we follow him. We follow him. One more verse. Actually, we get... Yes.
Just see these people and pick them. He knew them. He'd seen them with John the Baptist.
They were all baptized by John the Baptist. They had all...
And they were disciples of John the Baptist. I mean, they kind of...
They were saved and baptized before he called them. Okay? John the Baptist prepared the material for the church. And John the Baptist said, "One coming after me that I'm not worthy to untie his shoe." Did he not? All right, and so now they're following that one, and somehow they knew him, did they not? Remember when Jesus was walking on the banks of the Jordan River, and John the Baptist looked at him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Now, was John related to Jesus? Is his cousin? Did he know of him? John's 6 months older than Jesus. He knew of him. But there, at that moment, I believe he realized in revelation, by revelation, that this is the King of Israel. This is the Messiah. This is the Master of the Universe. Right here, right now. That it? All right. Brother A, got a question. 121. That's where we're going to finish tonight. Actually, starts a new subject. Kai, Ace, Poruonte. Ace, Kafaruum. Kai, Euthus, see that word? He loves that word. Tois, Sabosin. Ace Elton, Ace Tain Synagogain, Edop, Edi Daskain. Third person plural, present, indicative, active. And they came in. They entered into Ace Capernaum. Now the word Ace Capernaum there means all areas in Capernaum. Capernaum is a city, and they went all throughout this whole city of Capernaum. What does Capernaum mean? To come Kafar Nahum. That's where it comes from. What does this Kafar Nahum mean, Brother Roger? You know?
Yeah, beloved home.
Beloved home. Their beloved home. But Jesus said later on, "Woe unto you, Capernaum, and all of these cities that he went into, for if the miracles were done in you that were done here were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would all repented with sackcloth and ashes, and yet you did not come. And it be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be you, because they saw the master of the universe. The master had walked in this land." And they came in and visited in Capernaum, and immediately on or during the Sabbath, here we have during the Sabbath, Sabbaths, plural. How long did he stay there? How many Sabbaths? Plural. Alright, instrumental plural, neuter, through several Sabbaths, through several weeks, because a week is a Sabbath. The week ends with what? Saturday. That's where it ends. It begins with Sunday and ends with Saturday. That's the Saturday is the Sabbath. So he went there and preached several weeks. Having entered Aethelthon unto the synagogues. He kept on teaching. Third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. He kept on teaching. And Luke 4, 31 through 37, it crosses through this. This calls reference to this. Now remember, the Gospel of Mark is a very brief description of Christ's ministries. If you want to get it in a nutshell, read the Gospel of Mark. There's only 16 chapters in it, and it will introduce you to what Jesus did. It won't tell you exactly what he did, but it'll tell you that he did this. Okay? He did this. Now he's going into the synagogue. Do you have any questions here? We went from 1, what? Where were we? 1? 1, 8?
1, 13.
1, 13? Oh, okay. 1, 13? Yeah, 1, 13 to 1, 21. All right. Now, do you have any questions? Any questions?